And it happened one day when I was saying, okay, what's the biggest problem we've got in the world right now? And the Cold War was in, like, major. It was in the 80s by then. And the Cold War was the biggest problem on the planet. As far as I was concerned, it was costing us just $350 billion a year. And I thought, why can't we take those resources and use them in a more constructive way? No sooner had I even said that, then all of a sudden I was introduced to the entire Russian-American conflict. People who were Russian started showing up in the training sessions we were holding. And, I mean, these people were not normal. They did not think like Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to learn how Russians think. It took me a while, about 6 months, to learn that.
Yes.
And when I finally got it, I got a call from Barbara Marx Hubbard the day I discovered this. And Barbara Marx Hubbard is a friend of mine now. I mean, I've known her for a number of years because we were speaking in a lot of the same places. And she called me and said, we have got the leaders of the military for the Soviet Union into a meeting where our subject is how do you change from a war room mentality to a peace room mentality. And Vern, she says, we've got the meeting arranged, but we don't have a clue what to do. I laughed, and so did she, because really, people don't know what to do. And I said, well, I think we can handle that, because by then I knew how Russians think.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to help them solve their problems. Well, we got into that meeting, and in 3 minutes, we had changed the basic premise of the Soviet military from war room to peace room.
That's very impressive.
It took about 3 minutes, and it was really quite dynamic, but we knew what to do.
Yes.
So the Russian general, can I tell you this story? Is it okay to tell you a little bit about this?
Yeah.
Anyway, so here's these, when we walked in the room, and it was with Rama Vernon's Organization for Soviet-American Dialogues for Peace. And this was at the height of the Soviet power, when they were at their, you know, right embedded in their Iron Curtain in the 80s. So we got in this room, and there were 17 of them all sitting on the other side of the table. Well, Barbara and I there were a couple of other ministers with us, but there was only 4 civilians on our side of the table. And the Russians were sitting at attention. I never realized until then you could actually sit at attention. All their hats, they were wearing their hats. Their hats were perfectly level. And they had so many decorations on their uniforms. I wondered, could anybody ever really earn that many decorations in a lifetime? So it was a very real impressive positioning on their part, on the other side of the table. And there were no hellos, no greetings, nothing, totally at attention. We sat down, and about 1 minute later, it was a little uncomfortable because nobody looked at you or anything. And 1 minute later, the man across the table from me stood up, and he just glared at us. And he just scowled, and then he pounded the table with both his fists, and he screamed, "War is inevitable." And then he sat down. Well, I looked over at Barbara and the 2 other people that were with us, and their mouths had dropped open, so I knew that they were no longer present. They were, like, awestruck. And it's not a criticism. It's just like, okay. Now, I knew I had absolutely no doubt what to do. So for those of you who are listening to this, I would ask you, what would you do? Do you know what to do when you are confronted by the most powerful military leaders in the world telling you that war is inevitable? What can you say? What could you possibly know? What doorway could you walk through that would find you the solution? I didn't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I stood up. I glared even more ferociously than he did. I treated them like they were little school children who didn't know anything.
Yes.
And I screamed louder than he screamed, and I pounded louder than he pounded, and I said, "War is not inevitable." And I pointed right in his face, and I said, "Sir, what is inevitable is that life will unfold its potential. And your moral and ethical responsibility, sir, and pointed right back in the middle of his face again, is to help your people, your nation, yourself, and all the ones you know to unfold that potential. I invite you to become part of the family of nations. And I sat down. Well, all bedlam broke loose. Every hat in the room tilted. And when I look, you know how you sit and you're kind of looking down at the table when you sit and then you bring your head back up? When I looked up, that Russian general's head was just 1 inch from the table and he was looking up inside of my eyes to see who was present. Who in the world was this man? Now, that was the first move in the negotiation. His next question was, yes, but how does one unfold that potential? And at that point, the military mentality shifted into how can we unfold the greatest possible life potential? And that became the mode, the framework, the process we used for demilitarization.